One thing I have to say to start off is this is not Iowa. I really Iowa has nothing, nothing like this, and it's really good to be back, having lived most of my life and all of my ministry in Michigan, except for these last several years here in Iowa. So it's good for my soul. It's good for my soul, and I know it is for you. That's why you're here, just to be along the water. It's amazing feeling of God's presence and power and grace and glory. So so thank you again for the invitation, Melody, to be here and to be with you this weekend. This morning we were looking at Matthew 14, where Jesus asked Peter to get out of the boat. So he walks toward Jesus, and he's walking on the water. And so we talked about that a bit. And now tonight we're going to continue that story. This morning we emphasized the fact that water walkers, and I encourage all of you to be water walkers, dare to believe by risking to leave the boat, taking a risk to leave the boat, as Peter did. Jesus said, come. So now, tonight, we're going to talk about water walkers who dare to believe by knowing when to stay in the boat. All right, when to stay in the boat. So I'm going to read the scripture again. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And then Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat. He started walking on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, he became frightened and he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand, caught Peter, and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And all those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And all the people of that place recognized him. They sent word throughout the region and brought all who were sick to Jesus and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.
Put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calmed the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee.
Amen. Amen. Well, what a difference a day makes for Peter. When we left Peter this morning at worship, he was walking across the water like nobody's business. "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you over the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So off Peter goes. Peter dares to believe, and it works. Peter's on a high. He's actually doing what Jesus is doing. And then suddenly he looks down and he sees the water and the waves and he begins to panic. And the more Peter panics, the more he sinks and the deeper he gets himself into trouble. Has that ever happened to you? Maybe not literally. You've tried something different. You've taken a risk and gone out on a limb, and then out of the blue, you realize the enormity of what you're doing and then you just freeze. That's what stage fright is all about. For those who have experience with that, what's the number one fear among Americans? It's public speaking. It's public speaking, but it's also performing in front of others, especially music or theater. At some point, most of us in our lives step out of the boat. We take a risk in our professional life. We develop an innovative strategic plan for growth in our local church. We decide to reinvent our personal life. We admit an addiction and seek treatment. We're going to turn things around. We're pumped. And then reality sets in. Just as Peter sees the wind and the waves and becomes discouraged and even scared, so it is for us. I don't know about you, but I feel it all the time. All of a sudden, I get cold feet. It goes slower than we think. People get disgruntled. Why did we agree to do this anyway? Yes, it happens to all of us, including Peter, the type T personality, the thrill seeker, the risk taker, the brash one. But when Peter saw that strong wind, he was frightened. He's beginning to sink and he cries out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reaches out his hand and catches him and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I think Christian history has probably done a great disservice to Peter because of how you and I interpret Jesus's response here. Because when Jesus says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" we often think that Jesus is rebuking Peter because his faith is utterly lacking. We naively assume that the answer to all of life's difficulties is just to have more faith. "Peter, if only your faith weren't so immature, you wouldn't have faltered. If only you had more faith, you wouldn't have gotten cancer. Or you wouldn't have been fired from your job. If your faith weren't so teeny-weeny, your daughter wouldn't have been sent to prison, or your wife wouldn't have left you." I even had a well-meaning church member tell me years ago that when another church member was going through serious difficulties, all we had to do was go to a friend of his for an exorcism. He said, "Get rid of the sin. I can do it. I can do it. And then health will be magically restored. Everything will be perfect again." He really believed that. Of course, it didn't happen. It doesn't always work that way, does it? Matthew wants us to know that it's not our faith, it's not our perfection and our lack of wavering that get things done for God, because we're not perfect. At least I'm not. My faith isn't perfect either. You and I hesitate. You and I notice the wind and the waves. The good news, however, is that it's not our faith, it's Christ's faith. It's not our power, it's Christ's power. It's Jesus' strong hand that pulls us through, for without him we cannot do a blessed thing. Nothing. Jesus says to Peter, come on. The amazing thing to me about this story is not that Peter scraps together enough faith to take a few steps, but that over these tumultuous waves, Jesus encourages Peter and says, "You can do it, Peter, come on." And Peter does it because Jesus is the one who has that faith on Peter's behalf. He has a faith in Peter who is so impetuous. He has a faith that Peter can actually come to him over the waves. But mind you, Jesus isn't rebuking Peter. He's encouraging Peter. Peter may have faltered, but he didn't fail. Rather, Peter's learning how to have faith, just as you and I are learning how to have faith every day of our lives. Peter's learning how to see with new vision. Every step of the way, on the sea and on the land, Jesus sees Peter not for who he is, but for who he can become. Jesus knows that Peter is impulsive. He's passionate, but he's also good-hearted. Jesus knows the potential that Peter has, and in fact, he taps Peter, to be the early leader of the church. It's Peter that Jesus asks. Peter is energized here, then, rather than demoralized. He's energized by this experience, but Peter still has some growing up to do. Peter's oligopistos, which is the Greek word for little faith, or you of little faith, that Greek word, oligopistos, will increase. Peter's in faith will deepen as he continues to lead. At the same time, Peter's doubt will grow into deeper levels of trust. and his sight will sharpen with experience. Jesus is mentoring Peter in this scripture. He's guiding him into becoming a man of both wisdom and grace as he navigates the stormy waters of the early church. Peter is learning. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So what happened after Jesus caught Peter on the water, faltering in the water, flailing around? Why? The wind calmed down. It often does at this time of night, doesn't it? It's very calm tonight. The wind calmed down. They got back in the boat, and everyone worshipped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And I wonder, could it be that Jesus' destination was really the boat? When Jesus was walking on the water, that his destination was really the boat, and it was really Peter who got Jesus off track. Remember the elephant? This morning we talked about baby elephant syndrome. That those who are content to remain tethered to the rope or chain of their own comfort never dare to risk. And if we don't risk, we don't grow. We don't grow in our personal lives, we don't grow in our churches, and we don't grow the kingdom of God. Could it be then that those who dare to believe are not only those who risk walking on water, but they're also those who risk staying in the boat? Could it be that we have baby elephant syndrome when we don't get out of the boat and risk, as well as when we won't stay in the boat of the church and risk living with our differences? In Matthew's day, we know that the boat was a symbol for the church. If you go to Europe, you see all these, or Israel, these ancient churches. If you look up at the ceiling, it's in the shape of a boat. It's the nave of a boat, because the boat was a symbol for the church. The boat is the vessel for salvation. The church is like Noah's Ark then, holding a people who are saved by passing through the waters. The church is like the disciples' boat, fishing for people. And the church is a safe boat in which God travels with us through the storms of life. In those early centuries of the Christian church, those disciples of Jesus Christ passed through some turbulent waters. It was illegal to be a Christian because Christ's followers believed Jesus was Lord rather than Caesar. They accepted the dangers of their faith, however, and were very aware of how Christians were persecuted and put to death by the thousands, either by crucifixion, being devoured by wild animals, believe it or not, or being smeared with pitch and set afire. It was dangerous to be a Christian in the first century. So you and I use the word martyr to describe someone who is put to death for their faith, for daring to believe in Jesus as Lord, for daring to be a part of the Christian church. In Greek, then, the word for martyr, someone who's put to death for their faith, means witness. It means witness. So the early Christians who witnessed to their faith in Jesus not only turned the world upside down, but the church grew by leaps and bounds. Did you notice what happened when Peter began to sink? Jesus catches him. He says, "Oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt?" And then they both get in the boat. Could it be that Jesus' original destination was the boat and that Peter was a distraction from Jesus' mission? Could it be that the gospel writer Matthew wants his readers to know that in the midst of the turmoil and persecution by the Romans, Jesus was with them, undergirding them and helping them to navigate the stormy seas of their faith? Perhaps the whole point of this story is not so much that Peter dares to believe while walking on the water, but that the boat of the Christian church dares to believe that they can change the world by sticking together because Jesus is with us in the boat. Now, this may be a counterintuitive way of interpreting Matthew 14, but I would contend that we dare to believe by staying in the boat of the church every bit as much as daring to leave the boat and walk on the water. It's the safety of the boat that gives us the courage to leave the boat when God calls. So if our local churches are boats, and if the United Methodist Church and other denominations are boats, then how do we dare to believe by walking away from the boat or staying in the boat? What does Jesus call us to do about this boat? Do we stay in it? When do we walk away? Why should we walk away? How does Jesus call us to relate to the boat of the church? Now, as many of you know, Hepworth has roots in the Methodist movement. But also we know that 2019 is a special year in the life of the United Methodist Church, because we had a special general conference earlier this year to vote how the United Methodist Church is going to be around human sexuality. And the vote was to retain the language that the practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching and clergy are prohibited from performing same-sex marriages. So we find ourselves, those of us in the United Methodist Church, in a boat, in a big old boat that seems to be taking on some water right now. But the funny thing about this leaky old boat called the Methodist Church is that it's not perfect. And no church is perfect. No one of us is perfect. And sometimes we all fail each other at different points. Other people are in need, and sometimes we hurt other people's feelings. And sometimes the boat feels like it's a little bit too crowded. And sometimes it feels like there's no space for us, or that we need to find another boat. But even though we get in the boat and it sometimes seems that where we think we're going, we're not making any headway, and we're trying to figure out how do we share Christ's radical love when we are part of a boat. And no boat is perfect, and a lot of boats leak, and sometimes the boats of not only United Methodist Church but other denominations start taking on water. So what do we do about these big old boats that contain disciples of Jesus Christ who want to share Christ's love, but the boat sometimes takes on water? Do we leave the boat or do we stay in the boat? What is God calling us to do? Well, it takes a lot of courage to stay in a boat that's taking on some water. And it takes a lot of courage and commitment to remain in the same boat and to work together to plug the leaks and travel on to undiscovered land across Lake Michigan, over there in Wisconsin. To dare to believe that we here today are one body in Christ at the same time as we think and let think and know that we all have different opinions about things is a formidable thing. But that's what Jesus calls you and me to do and to believe, is to say we are part, whether we belong to this denomination or this one, we're all part of one boat, and the boat is the church of Jesus Christ. And so together Jesus calls us to stay in this boat of the church and also think about our common mission to bring in God's kingdom on this earth by sharing Christ's love with people around the world. So the question I think that I have tonight is wondering, can we be water walkers together? All of us here tonight, everyone who is a part of this beautiful Epworth community, everyone who lives in Ludington and Michigan, around the world, can we all be water walkers together, united by our differences and our common love for Jesus Christ? Dare we believe then that in worship, because remember the last thing that happened in this story is they all worshiped together. They all worshiped together in the boat. Do we believe that through worship you and I become one, and that the Holy Spirit is the one that keeps us together? Dare we keep inviting new people into the boats of our local churches because Jesus calls us to make spaces for new faces and new people to experience Christ's love? And so dare we send out lifeboats from the larger boat of the church and create new worshiping communities so that new people can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I wonder, dare we repurpose the boats that we already have so that they can be more effective in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? And God forbid, sometimes maybe some of the boats that we have, which are big old buildings, maybe we need to tear some of them down and so they can be more useful and purposeful to be able to minister to people in our communities. And I wonder, is Jesus calling us out of our boats to learn from those who challenge our long-held beliefs and customs and insistence on, we've always done it this way? Now, I know in Michigan, you're all really, you're way ahead of Iowa, to tell you the truth. You know, you guys, I think you guys have it down, but in Iowa, I hear a lot, well, we've always done it this way. You never say that, I'm sure, here in Michigan, But friends, Jesus calls us at times to get out of the boat and have some courage to go into the world and witness to Christ. But other times, Jesus wants us to stay in the boat, and that there are things that we need to do in this boat that is the church. And so I think the most important verse in this scripture is verse 33. And that's the fact that when Jesus and Peter get back in the boat, they worship together. They pray together. They offer thanksgiving to God. They break bread together. They experience the power of the Holy Spirit together. And so I'm convinced that inspiring, challenging, encouraging, inclusive, transformative worship, the kind of worship that we had this morning here, is at the heart of who we are as God's people. So what is Jesus's word for us this evening? I think Jesus would have a question for you. Are you a water walker for Jesus? Knowing that water walkers dare to risk, both by leaving the boat to do ministry and knowing when to stay in the boat. Is faith found by getting out of the boat or by staying in the boat, or is it a little bit of both? Do we engage our doubts by leaving the boat or remaining in the boat? Is it true that one only discovers new lands by consenting to let go of the shoreline for a very long time and allowing God to guide our boat? Can we walk on this water together? Sometimes other boats in the waters of faith look like luxury liners. I don't see the car ferry anywhere around here right now, but we look over at these big luxury liners and everybody's having cocktails on the Lido deck. I'm sure they have cocktail lounge on the Badger, don't they? Is the Badger still operating? So meanwhile, you know, we're having our cocktails on the Lido deck and the storms of life are raging all around us, and all around us, and especially in the small boats. And so sometimes maybe we think about, well, we need to buy another boat. We need to have a bigger boat, or we need to separate into smaller groups and have a bunch of smaller groups so we don't have to deal with people who are like us. And so the truth, though, is that we're not a Carnival Cruise Line in the church. We're not a luxury liner. We're not a cruise ship. We're disciples of Jesus Christ, and we're sitting in boats all around the world. We are on the move. We are on the move for Jesus. We are small boats ready to stop on a dime to help someone in need. We're boats where we meet at a common table and we break bread together. We're boats that operate in different contexts and have different worship styles and different views on social issues. And we're not always the same, yet what we do share, every one of us here today, is a fervent desire to be God's people and to make a difference in the world. We have determined to see it through together, thick and thin. We dare to believe. We dare to honor differences and seek reconciliation and unite around a common table to make disciples of Jesus Christ. My friends, you and I are water walkers that Jesus calls and empowers to not only get out of the boat and have the courage to make a difference, but sometimes to stay in the boat to make a difference. Water walkers are ones who experience the storms of life, but they keep on walking, even when it's raging. The weather's raging around us, but we're also water walkers who know that we can get back in the boat because Jesus meets us in the boat as well as outside of the boat. Now, there's one last thing I want to share. Have you noticed that there's one word that is mentioned three times in this scripture, and that is the word immediately. Immediately. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get in the boat. Jesus said to them, immediately, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. You know what the Greek word is for immediately? It's euthys, which means enthusiasm. The word for immediately in Greek really means enthusiasm. My friends, my brothers and sisters, there is no time to waste. There's no time to wait. There is an urgency that we all have about being water walkers. Water walkers. And so I say to you tonight that now is the time to dare to believe, and now is the time to get out of the boat, but now is also the time to know when to stay in the boat. Thanks be to God for Peter and the disciples and the inspiration that water walking gives us. Thanks be to God for the early Christians who endured countless persecution, but endured everything for their faith. Thanks be to God when we move beyond baby elephant syndrome and dare to believe in God and ourselves. Thanks be to God for our United Methodist heritage here at Epworth. And John Wesley's words from Character of a Methodist: the distinguishing marks of a Methodist are not his opinions of any sort. We think and let think. Thank God for the courage of those who stay in the boat. And thank God for the courage of those who know when it's time to leave the boat and make a difference. Thank you to each one of you for being water walkers. Thank you to each one of you for your presence here tonight, for your deep faith, for your willingness to get out of the boat when Jesus asks you to go, and for your discernment about when it's important to stay in the boat, if that's where God calls you to do your mission and your ministry. Whose hand? This is my challenge to you this week. Whose hand will you reach out and catch this week as Jesus reached out and caught Peter's hand? Whose hand will you reach out and catch this week? And the second challenge is this. Whose cloak will you reach out and touch, offering hope and healing this week? Will you be a water walker? Will you dare to believe? Will you dare to risk? Will you dare to have the courage both to stay in the boat and know when it's time to get out of the boat and be in ministry in a new way? Let us pray. Water walking God, how are you daring us to believe tonight? There's no one way in which you call us. Sometimes to step out and risk, other times to back off and wait. Sometimes to do something new, other times to recover something old. Something to add at times, and other times to let go. What we do know is that we do not discover new lands without consenting to lose sight of the shore for a very long time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would suggest that since the hymn I was going to suggest for closing was already sung tonight, we're going to do...